Good morning, everybody. Welcome here, those watching online. So good to have you joining us today. I'm Norm Byers, and again, happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. We tell kids they should use their imagination, don't we? If you've ever had summer break at your house with kids at home, you're like, hey, time to go outside, everybody. And then what do they say? It's boring. Yeah, yes. It's boring out there, you know. No, go out and what? Use your imagination, right? Go out, be resourceful, be creative. Sometimes people ask us to use our imagination. What do they say? They say, well, hey, what would you like for your birthday? And you got to think a little bit. Or what do you want for Mother's Day? And so we get a chance to dig into our imagination. A while back, I had a great opportunity to use my imagination. There was a new woman in my life. Her name was Brenda. And how I first met her is that she started volunteering with the youth group to help out. You know, of course, I was the big cheese. So I was like, "Woo! You know, this is a good sign. She's volunteering to help out with the youth group." And so I knew there's a first date that's going to happen, and how what's this going to look like? So I had a chance to use my imagination, and it came to me, I know, I just got these tickets to the Michigan-Ohio State football game. And I'm like, this is going to be great. I love football, and it's just going to be fantastic. This is going to be a great first date. And so, you know, I asked her, and she was like, yeah, I'll go, you know. So we went to the game. It was an awesome game. 1993, look it up. 28-0, Michigan smoked Ohio State. They were the number 5 team in the nation at the time and ruined their national title hopes. And yeah. But the best part was that John Cooper, the legendary coach. We call him legendary here in Michigan, Ohio State. He was like, this is the worst game I've ever been a part of. So we go to this game. It is just great. We're driving out, and I'm like, well, what did you think? She goes, it was all right. I'm like, what? It was all right. What do you mean? It was a great game. Michigan beat Ohio State. It was fantastic. But it was all right. And I didn't mention to you that it was 10 degrees at the game. I didn't mention that to you. And I didn't mention to you also a guy named Terry. Terry entered into our lives. He was seated on the other side of Brenda. And he had too much to drink before the first quarter was over. And so while I was intently watching the game, she was talking to Terry the whole time. And I missed that somehow. Well, in any event, you know, my imagination kind of failed me there. I imagined something that would work really well for me, but I didn't give it a whole lot of thought how it would work for Brenda. We're in a series of talks here. We're in Matthew chapter 7, if you're familiar with this part of the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the famous sermon that Jesus gave. Chapter 7 is the last chapter of it. And there's all kinds of contrasts going on in this part of the sermon. He's contrasting things. We're going to look at the wise man and the foolish man, the wide gate and the narrow gate, things of that nature. And so we're calling this series This or That. And so, but it's all about learning to discern, learning to be thoughtful in our lives. That's what Jesus wants for us to do. He wants us to, today we're going to look at using your imagination in the idea of opening up your heart and mind in regard to other people. Using your imagination as it regards to other people. So I'm going to invite you to stand up. I'm going to read this passage. Go ahead and stand up with me in reverence for God's word. I'm going to read the passage that we talked about last week, and then the passage we're going to talk about today, because the two fit together. These are Jesus' words. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Therefore, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I'm going to read verse 12 one more time. Verse 12 is our passage for today. It's the golden rule. Therefore, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is God's word. Please grab a seat. Yeah, this is the golden rule. It's all about how should we treat other people. How should we treat other people? And what we're going to look at today is a very Jesus-centered golden rule. The golden rule is out there. We'll talk about this in a minute. It's in different religions and different ethical systems. But we're going to look at a gospel-centered view of the golden rule. And it boils down to, how should I treat others? That's what we're going to ask today. The short answer is, we should treat others well as followers of Jesus Christ. We should treat others well. You probably already know that, so this isn't new ground. But let's think through this, right? We're learning to be discerning, so let's think through this today. So here's my structure for you today. We're going to look at the why, the what, and the how. We're going to look at the why. That's the reason. Here's the foundational reason why we should practice the golden rule. And then we're going to actually look at the what, the instruction. We're going to take it apart a little bit so that we can hopefully understand it a little bit better. And then lastly, we don't want to just understand God's word. We want to do it. So that's the how, the way to live it. We're going to look at that. So let's start with the why, the reason. Why should we follow the golden rule in life? It's so much easier to not do the golden rule. Why should we treat others well? Well, there's a key word in this passage that helps us understand this. And it's a key word that you should look for when you're studying the Bible. It's the word therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, if you have a Bible that you're, you know, like in your hand, not on your phone, you know, circle it. You know, it just kind of, it points it out. Because there's information before that tells you why, and then there will be application after the therefore of how to follow that through. So let's just look at this again, verse 11 and 12. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Verse 12, therefore, there it is, therefore, in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Okay, so circle it. Highlight it, the therefore. It's important. What happened before? What do we see before? You know, it's that God is good. And what do we see after? We're to be good to others. That's the basic quick thing here. If it's sunny today, it's sunny today. It looks like it is. I haven't been out there yet. Yesterday was sunny, and I can feel it. I let it get on my head a little bit. If it's sunny today, therefore you should wear a hat, okay? Right? I should anyway. Here's another one. You need money to retire, therefore you should save right now while you're before retirement. So it's kind of that idea here. Jesus says in his word, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, God will answer. Scott talked about this last week. I encourage you to go back and listen to the talk. God always gives us better than we ask. Sometimes his answer is no to what we want. But he's good. It's what's needed. He's generous. It may be maybe. It may be wait. It may be yes. But we can know this and appreciate the song service that we've just had. That reminder that he is good. The Father is good. And he will answer us in a generous way. So if indeed God is good and generous, we are able then to give to others. We're able to be generous to others. See, God is generous to us. He is good to us. He gives us things. And now we can actually be a little freed from a scarcity mentality. We can actually be generous and good to those around us. See, it kind of flows. There's a logical flow that we can follow the Lord in His generosity that He has extended to us. The Lord has treated us well, so we should follow Him and treat others well. So what we have to do is realize, I'm going to give you some steps here today that you can kind of walk through, and when we get to the how part, we'll boil this down a little bit more. But the steps to fulfilling the golden rule, the first one is realize. You've got to realize that God is good and generous. That's the foundation of it all. Without that, you're going to be missing a key component. You know, just think about it. When you realize someone has done something generous for you, it makes you more apt to be generous towards other people. It just kind of loosens you up. And so as we reflect on God's goodness, His generosity, that opens us up as well. It should actually lead us to worship. It should lead us to this humble place where God is incredible. He is awesome. I need Him. Look what He's done for me. Look how He has cared for me in my times of need. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church, the ancient church at Ephesus, and here's a part of what he wrote. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. See, God is able and He's good, so He's able to do more than we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. And then verse 21 isn't on the screen, but let me read it. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, Paul is teaching something. He's teaching about the goodness of God. He's teaching about the generosity of God. But he leads that and through that letter for us to worship, to put Him in the highest place, to reflect on His greatness. So what is the why? The why is God will always do good for us, followers of Christ, those who are calling out to God, asking Him for what we need in our lives, our provision, and for wisdom and those kinds of things. We believe God will answer that. Therefore, we should devote ourselves to doing good for others. Let's go to the what. Let's look at the actual instruction here. If you go back to the original language, and I just want to give this to you literally. This is literally what Jesus says in the instruction. He says, in everything what you desire people to do to you, you do it to them. Whatever you desire people, and it's literally to do, what you desire them to do to you, you do it to them. It's very literally what is said there. And so this is the imagination part. This is the imagination part. This is imagine. What do you want people to do to you? How do you want people to treat you? What do you want people to do for you? I thought about this yesterday. It might be better to say for you instead of to you, right? What do you want people to do for you? How do you want them to treat you? And so this is the imagine. So it starts with realize. Realize God has been, He is good and He is generous. He's lavished on you so many things. You're wealthy. This is like dessert. This is like, oh, thank you, God, for all the good things. And now let's imagine what we would like people to do to us. Not that being the end, that being a part of the process to get us to fulfilling the golden rule. What would we like people to do to us? What would we like them to do for us? You know, like, we want to be treated with respect. I'm just kind of, some of these are my own personal, like, I want people to treat me with respect. I want people to say nice things to me. Give me good, constructive words. Like if I'm in traffic and it's congested, I want people to let me in their lane, you know? So Jesus is saying, what do you want people to do? Because we're going to get to, this is what we should be doing for them. We should treat people with respect. The lady or the guy at the gas station, you know, when the credit card thing doesn't print out and you got to go in the gas station. Isn't that annoying? It's like, come on, get that fixed. I don't want to come in here, you know. I'm in a hurry. No. It's like, hey, I want to be treated with respect. And so I'm going to go in, I'm going to treat them with respect, right? Imagine you go to church. How do you want to be treated at church? How do you want people to treat you at church? Well, you know, it'd be nice if some people said hi to me, some people engaged with me. You know, we have every week at Genesis, we have new people here for the first time. And, you know, I'm certain from their perspective, when they come, they want someone to say hi. They want someone to talk to them. And, and sometimes we can just get stuck on that. Like, nobody's talking to me, and then we don't talk to anybody else. But the conclusion of this is, we want people to talk to us, then we should talk to other people, okay? When, imagine, what do you want? You know, when people give me a gift, I want them to think about my needs and my wants, not just give me what they want to give me, you know? Well, you know, imagine that. And then what does that look like for other people? Are you just giving them what you have left over? So now here's the next step, though, because imagine is there. It's getting closer, but it's not quite there yet. Imagine is like general. It's like the general stuff, like people want good food. You know, that's everybody would want good food. When you go on a date, you want to have a good time. I mean, everybody wants to have a good time on a date. But now we got to get to this discern piece here. Imagination gets us in the general direction, but we need to go further in analyzing as we're thinking about someone else, not ourselves. We're actually going to leave ourselves and think about them. And this is the discerning part. Discerning is a subset of imagination. Imagination, big picture, but then discerning is specifically those people I engage with in the different people groups that I have, like family, neighborhood, workplace, church, wherever I'm going in the community. It takes more imagination, okay? So let me explain. So people go on a date to have fun, like I mentioned earlier. Not everyone considers watching a football game for 3 hours in 10-degree weather fun. Okay? They just don't. Or here's another one, good food. Most people, again, want good food prepared for them. So if you want good food prepared for you, raise your hand. If you want good food. Okay. Some of you don't. I'm really surprised by this. But anyway, you go to McDonald's all the time, maybe. I don't know. But good food. But, I like spicy food. Anybody else with me? I like a lot of garlic on my food. I mean, if I'm cooking, I'm sautéing garlic and I'm putting it in things. And I've found that my family does not like the amount of garlic that I like. So that would not be good food for them. So if I'm going to imagine, you know, they want good food, but I got to discern that, you know, they don't like the same kind of food I like. So I got to figure out what they like. I got to understand better what they like. And so we have to observe. We got to ask questions. We got to talk to people. We got to listen to understand. If we're going to learn to be discerning, we have to do those things. Because not everything is straightforward. That's what this whole series is about. You can't go to the Bible. You can't go to a certain verse or a certain passage and say, right here's the answer to every problem I have. There's so many situations and contrasting situations that we have to think about it. It's not all straightforward. We actually have to show up. We have to show up to listen. We have to be thoughtful. You know, I was thinking about this morning. In the passage, one of those passages where Jesus is talking about this, he says that, you know, basically the idea, God knows everything we need. I mean, it's not like we have to tell God, I need bread. He knows that. He knows the needs you have, no matter what situation you're in. He knows your needs. It's not like we're informing him about something he doesn't know about. And in the same way, we're not God, so we can't get all that. But in the same way, we need to know the needs of others before they ask. We need to work towards that. We need to work towards imagining what they may need, what's needed in their lives. Okay? So lastly, the golden rule is an action. Let's put that up there. So we've got to realize God is good. He is generous. Everything I have is because of God. This is the gospel, my friends, that God is good and we're sinful and He came into our space. He loves us. He gave us everything we need. He provides for us. And then the next is imagining, what would I like people to do to me in every situation in your life? How would I want people to treat me? And then we got to discern, well, here's specific people. Here's what their nuances are, their differences from me, what they need, what they like. And then we need to act. We need to do something. It's really, we need to do something. That's a gospel-centered view. You know, Jesus came down to earth. He didn't look down, have pity on us, and, well, I just won't make it harder on them. No, he actually came down into our space. The golden rule, it appears in most ethical traditions, like in Hinduism. Let me share. I'll just give you it right up front here. These are all stated in the negative. Hinduism, that which is unfavorable to us, do not do that to others. Buddhism, hurt not others in the way you yourself would not find hurtful. Confucianism, never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. Judaism from the school of Hillel, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah and the rest of the commentary. Go and learn. So all these, again, are stated in the negative, which means this, you can basically do nothing and achieve the golden rule. Just don't do, it's like, don't do any harm, right, in the medical field. Don't do no harm. But that is not the bar that Jesus has put before us. That doesn't reach the pinnacle that Jesus wants for us. God has been generous to us. He wants us to be generous. He doesn't want us just to get by, like, don't do any harm. He wants us to do something. Now, some of my black friends, I have black friends, pastors who are friends for over the years, some very close ones, and they have said to me in the last year with a lot of the racial unrest, to be non-racist is not enough. This is what they've said to me. To be non-racist is not enough. What is needed is for white people and the white church to be actively anti-racist. That's what's needed. Which means to speak up when we see racism, when there is systemic racism. Now, I know some of you, you're going to hear this as a political statement. And I've been accused of making political statements in the last year. Never before that very much. But in the last year, it seems like it's kind of following me around a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what the Republican position is on this. I don't care what the Democratic position is. I don't care what the Libertarian or you fill in any other, you know, political arrangement. I don't really care about that. Not that I don't care about the people, but I don't care about the system. I'm concerned about what Christ wants me to do, what Christ wants the church to do. Okay, that's what's important here. And so I think this fits in here. Is like, we can't just be, we can't say, oh, I never owned a slave before. We can't say, I've never been prejudiced towards anyone. I've never said a bad word towards a black person or a brown person or whatever. It's not enough. And I really believe that's what Jesus is saying here. How do I know that? Well, look at this. Let's put that verse back up there. In everything, therefore, treat people in the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. In everything, all things in a group, okay? Everyone, not just your friends, not just your family, treat them with the golden rule, but nobody else. No. All people, friends, family, neighbors. And remember how Jesus defined what a neighbor was? The Good Samaritan, read the story. The Good Samaritan is someone from a different ethnicity than, the people that Jesus was talking to. And what did Jesus say about enemies? Let me remind you about what Jesus said about enemies. This is earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. We actually talked on it. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. You see, when we follow after God's generosity, we are His children. We are going right after. We're following the family culture. You know, we're doing what the Father wants. And so, it's a wonderful thing. Let's go to the how here. The how. The practice. How can we do this? How can we do this? Again, realize, imagine, discern, and act. We're going to put that back up on the screen again and keep it up there for the whole time as I walk through this. Realize, imagine, discern, and act. Let's just walk through them. Realize. How can I be a person that is continually realizing that God is good and generous? How do I do that? Well, I think one thing that is very important is attending a worship gathering. I really want to say that to those at home and those here. You know, don't just fit when it works, like, oh yeah, I'm not doing anything, I'll go to church this week. That's the wrong-headed approach to the value of the gathering. At the gathering, we are rehearsing the gospel every week. And we're really trying to make that powerful here at Genesis. As we think through who God is, who we are, and redemption, and the culmination that is to come, it sets our week right. And so making it a priority is so important. And it's one way that we can realize. I love what we sang a little earlier. I stand in awe of the one who gave it all for me. We all need to push the counter back to zero every week. Otherwise, we're going to be subject to consumerism, me-firstism, whatever you want to call it, okay? Now, here's some other thoughts to do it daily, because we daily need to realize, how can I daily do that? One thing that I try to do is, and I've talked about this before, but is to wake up with an anchor verse. Before I get out of bed, before my feet hit the floor, just working through a verse that can orient you towards realizing God's goodness in your life. One that I like is Psalm 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I mean, that's a three-point sermon right there, baby. If we had another hour, I'd give it to you. But we don't. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Boom, and I can think through that. First thing in the morning, thank you, God, that you're there. No matter what circumstance, situation that I face this day, you are with me. I brought up my 5-year journal. Here's another way that you can do it. I write entries into this thing, and I'll tell you, I'm 4.5 years into it, so I've got some already 5 years here, and there's been some really hard things that have happened that I've written in here over the last 5 years, some pain. But I will tell you one thing that keeps coming out is the goodness of God, His faithfulness to me. It's right there. And I'll take some time, not every day, but a few times a week, and I'll just read through what has happened 3 years ago. Oh, Jansen went 0-for-5, struck out 3 times. Oh, that's not too good. But, oh, you know, look it over here. Look what God did in my life. And so those are some things that you can do. Imagine. How do we imagine? Well, I want you to think about each group of people in your life. So your marriage. Okay, imagine. How do you want your wife to treat you? Okay, well, you want to be treated with respect. You know, your kids, you want them to listen to what you have to say. You know, we work through that in every situation, at work, in my neighborhood. I want neighbors that are generous with their stuff. Because sometimes I need to borrow a tool. Anybody here need to borrow a tool? I want some good tools, man. You got one? You know, well, doggone it, I ought to be generous with my stuff, right? So imagine how, and everyone, you know, again, going back to the gas station or the grocery store, you know, the lady at Aldi's at so fast. I mean, I'm just like, oh no, Brenda sent me here to get 5 things and I can't handle it. You know, this lady is really super duper fast, you know. I'm going to compliment, because I'd like to get complimented. Man, you are really good at what you do. You know, how do we do that? We got to imagine, right? At your workplace, you know, we need to bring Jesus with us into the workplace. How do you want your coworkers to treat you? How do you want your supervisors to treat you? You know, imagine. And then discern. Discern what fits them. It's taking the time to really think through. So, like, let's say you work at a place and you're teamed with somebody. They're not a morning person. So, you're a morning person. So, the thing that you may do is, like, not talk to them before 10 o'clock in the morning, right? Because you've discerned that you want to treat them with respect because, you know, you want to be treated with respect, so you're going to treat them with respect. They're not a morning person. You're going to give them time. I want to point out there's a great book called The Five Love Languages. It's in the notes if you'd like the notes. But it just kind of helps you think through, like, how do people receive and give love? It can be very helpful in some of those key relationships. And then act. Do something every day that is fulfilling the golden rule. Find a way to act in generosity. I'm going to have Zach and Johnny come up here right now. And I'm going to have them come up as we get ready to end up our time here. But I want to say this. If you believe that God has indeed gifted you with good gifts, then you should be giving gifts, good gifts, to others. You should be generous. You should be generous towards other people. Not just your friends, not just your family, even your enemies, the people that you don't care for. It should be a part of what you're doing. And so we want to end up with some next steps. So I'm going to let Johnny kind of help take this part here a little bit.
Thank you, Norm. I got to pull it together. Didn't you do a good job today, guys? Okay. Yeah, we've got next steps. Thank you, Norm, for bringing the word. Thank you for sharing scripture with us. And it's saying it's not enough to just be, you know, I think of Lance Bailey at the high school. He, you know, there's a lot of things that are like anti-bullying. And he's got this thing called Kindness Club, Cheetos Club, going on at the high school right now. A lot of amazing kids are part of it. And it's not enough to just be like anti-bully. His whole motto is plan to be kind. Be proactive. Get out there. So we got some next steps for you this week, some ways that you can walk this out, the ways that you can plan to do unto others as you would have it done for you. Number one is consider and discuss. Where do you fall off the boat when it comes to, you know, doing unto others? Is it the realize? Is it the imagine? Is it the discern? I think for me, it's realization and it's discernment. So I fall off the boat, step one, quite often. I think it's all about me. I think it's about what I want in the world. And I think as you guys have these discussions, it might be a really cool way to celebrate your moms. My mom tells me this story that, you know, I'm her firstborn son. And she said, I began to understand God's love for me when I realized how much I loved you. And so I don't think there's anybody who does it better than moms when it comes to this stuff. They are unconditionally loving. They are extravagantly generous. They are merciful beyond measure. And so as you go from this place, have this discussion with the people in your life and celebrate, convict, encourage, challenge, grow up. That's what we're here for as a church. Our second one is discern and decide. Norm, tell me what that's about.
That's what the whole series is about, is discerning. So who can I be generous toward this week? I mean, I just had this this vision of all the people here, all the people in our next gathering, the people watching. If we just went out and picked one person, all of us did that, what an incredible impact it would have on our community. The people around who feel they're worth nothing, you know, or whatever. We have that chance. So who can I be generous toward this week? Ask God to help you to discern that. Think about that. Jesus doesn't want us just playing it safe and just kind of being non-involved, but to actively participate.
Amen. Hey, Genesis, let's stand together. We're going to pray real quick, and then Zach is going to lead us in worship once more. God, I just pray that as we live out what we talked about, as we live out what we learned about from your word, that you would go with us, that we would follow in your footsteps, that you would lead the charge on this, that you'd be even right now whispering to our spirits by your Holy Spirit, this is what it looks like in your life today. This is what it looks like Monday morning. This is the person. Give us those people. Give us those actions. May we be fearless. May we be bold. May we go out together into the world and share your love. We love you, Lord Jesus, and in your name we pray these things. Amen.